Tonight, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. There's a word that we're going to see three times in the passage of Scripture that we're about to read. It is the word treacherous or treacherously, and that's going to lead us to the subject of tonight. Malachi chapter 2, start with verse number 10. Once you find it, would you stand with me, please? Malachi chapter 2, starting with verse number 10. Tonight, I'll be a little more teachy than usual, but I want you to learn something from the Scripture that I think will help us all. Malachi chapter 2, starting with verse number 10, the Bible says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously. An abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, Wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously." That's the third time we've heard that word, treacherously. "Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." Now I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll get into the subject of tonight. Father, help me to teach this subject properly. Thank you for the Scripture. God, your Holy Spirit is necessary as I teach. It's necessary as we listen. Might we not only listen with our ears, but may our perception be keen. Take the truth and make it not only something that's in our minds, but something that's lived in our life, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated there. We're going to talk tonight about the subject of growing our loyalty. Growing our loyalty. This passage of Scripture is God teaching us through Malachi to be loyal. He is preaching and teaching against disloyalty. Now, the word disloyalty is not found in the Bible anywhere. Probably, maybe the closest word in the Bible to disloyalty is the word treachery, or that word that we heard, treacherously. That those words are almost identical in their definition. Here in Malachi chapter 2, we're being taught the first treachery that God speaks of, or the first disloyalty that God speaks of, and it's disloyalty toward the brethren. Malachi 2:10, it says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother?" Now, that's a negative. Someone is being disloyal or treating a brother treacherously. So there we see disloyalty toward mankind, or actually toward our Christian brothers. Then, secondly, he mentions in this passage of Scripture a treachery toward God's word and God. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord." Now what's happened here, there is treachery toward God. First we've seen that God said, you've dealt with your brethren treacherously, and he was disciplining that. And I say, and now you're doing the same thing to God and God's word. Then, thirdly, he mentions it again. In Malachi 2:14, he talks about being practicing disloyalty toward your spouse. Malachi 2:14, it says, "Yet ye say, Wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion." So there's disloyalty between husband and wife. God mentions disloyalty from God's people to God and his word. He mentions disloyalty among the brethren. You know, folks, My old college president, Dr. Wendell Evans, used to stand up in Bible college and he'd get in the pulpit and say, "Even an old dog can be loyal." And I love to hear him say it. When we were growing up, one thing my parents taught me, they taught me all the principles from the Bible. One was never feed a stray dog. That's one of the things they taught me. They said, don't feed a stray dog. Every time you turn around, my brother and I, we'd find a stray dog and we'd drag that dog home. And my mom would say, "You didn't feed it, did you?" Well, we'd been feeding it for days, hiding it in the garage and everything. And so, well, we drug this dog home one time. You say, "What kind of a dog was it?" It was a Heinz 57. It was some of everything. And it might have even had a little cow in it. I'm not sure. But that dog was a little bit of everything. And she had, it was a black and white dog, and we named her Spot. And she had a Spot on her. And I'll tell you what, Spot became our companion. We took Spot everywhere. Me and my brother would jump on our bicycles and take off riding, and Spot would go. And we'd go play baseball, and Spot would go. And we'd run the bases, and Spot would go. You know, you're going to first base, and Spot's tagging along. And I'm going to second base, and Spot's tagging along. And where we went, Spot went with us. If we'd go out and there was a place where we weren't supposed to go swimming, it's called the gravel pit, and that's, everybody was told you can't swim there, so obviously that's where we went to swim. And young people don't do that. That's bad. That's bad, bad, bad. But Spot would go. I remember there's a guy that lived up the street from us. His name was John Sting. And John had this dog, and it was a big dog, and it was a mean dog. And John all the time thought he owned our alley. Now, John, we lived on the same street, and we used the same alleyway. And if we ever walked behind John's house and he was out there, he was a big bully. He'd say, "You can't come through this. This is my alley." And, you know, if we were far enough away from him, we'd say, "It's not your alley," and we'd throw rocks at him and things like that, which you should not do. You should not. That's bad. Well, I remember one day we were walking through that alley, and it was me and my brother and John's big old dog. I don't know what kind of dog it was, but it looked a little bit like a Mack truck. I mean, this was a mean dog and a big dog, and John, he sicked his dog on us, and boy, that dog came after us, and then that dog's chasing us, and then me and my brother were hoofing. Spot was just a little thing. I remember me and my brother, we take off running, and Spot turned around and squared up with that dog, and I look back, and little old Spot was just back there holding that big old dog off. And I mean, now my brother and I had gotten far enough ahead, we figured we could outrun John and the big dog. So we turned around to watch, and just little Spot, she'd planted herself, and she was going at it, and that big old dog stopped, looking at that little dog. And you know, eventually both dogs went their own way. There wasn't a fight, but I'll tell you what, I learned that day, Spot was loyal. Spot was willing to take on the Mack truck to take care of me and my little brother. It's too bad the human race can't learn what a dog can learn. Mrs. Owens had a dog. We lived out in the country for a while. Now, she'd grown up all of her life in the city. When we moved to the country, we were out in the middle of nowhere. She would tell me, she said, "Honey, it's so quiet out here, it's scary." She said, "I need to hear the Jake brake of a truck or a siren or gunshots or something to feel at home." She said, "I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. You can't hear anything." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I travel and preach." I said, "I'll get you a dog." So I got her a dog. I said, "What you going to name your dog?" And I thought she's going to call it, you know, Spike or Killer or something like that. She said, "I'm going to name her Pupcake." I said, "Honey, if somebody's breaking into the house and you say, 'Sick 'em, Pupcake,' I'm sure the bandit's going to be scared to death of a dog named Pupcake." Well, Pupcake loved her, and I mean, that dog was loyal to her. We had a friend that come to visit one day, and they somehow thought, that friend thought that they were, Pupcake thought that that friend was coming and was going to hurt Mrs. Owens, and I'll never forget. Our dog tore into her and bit her, right? The biggest target on her body bit her there, and... But she was scooting back to her car in every way that she could. But Pupcake was loyal. She was loyal. Here in the book of Malachi, we see God dealing with treacherous behavior, treachery, disloyalty. Loyalty is even expressed in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." You know what God's saying? No matter what happens to you, be loyal to God. No matter what you face, be loyal. Be loyal. Loyalty is a quality that affects every relationship in life. And so you all know, God knows if you're truly loyal. God knows that. That you're not loyal to someone just because you don't attack them. You're not loyal because you are not disloyal. Loyalty rises to the defense of the object. Even if your loyalty costs you something. In Philippians 3:10 it says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." You know what Paul said? Paul was loyal to Christ and to the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul said, "I'm loyal to Jesus even if it costs me something. I'm going to stand up for Jesus when it does cost me something." Disloyalty ruins churches. It splits churches. Disloyalty in a home will destroy a home. Disloyalty in a business can destroy a business. True scriptural loyalty is based on and practiced because we are obedient to the teaching and virtually the doctrine of loyalty. Loyalty is a truth of the Bible. It's a teaching in the Bible. You say, "Well, the word loyalty doesn't show up in the Bible." I know that. The word Bible doesn't show up in the Bible. The word rapture doesn't show up in the Bible. There are all sorts of people that say, "Well, if that word doesn't show up in the Bible, I'm not going to use that." So, well, then you need to stop using the word Bible. Well, I wasn't talking about that. I know you're talking, trying to make me wrong and you right. That's what it was. But the truth of the matter is, loyalty is a teaching in the Word of God. And I want to show it to you tonight. Let me tell you why there is even a need for loyalty. Why is there a need? Or, if I may, let me show you the first disloyalty ever. The original disloyalty. You know, heaven was a perfect place. God was a perfect leader. Lucifer was originally an archangel in the perfect heaven under the perfect leader, God. Remember, all the way back, there's heaven, perfect. God, the leader, perfect. Lucifer was there, one of the archangels, under the perfect leader. And what happened? Lucifer became disloyal. Listen to Isaiah chapter 14. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now, you've been taught, and rightfully so, that pride was one of the original sins, and I believe that, but let me say pride and disloyalty was one and the self-same act with the original sin. Yeah, Lucifer's sin caused him to rise up against God, but while he was doing that, he was being disloyal. It was treachery. It was treacherous what he did. He was disloyal. So if you ask me, the original sin was a combination of pride and disloyalty bundled into one. Hey, and by the way, Lucifer was in a perfect place, heaven, but he was still disloyal, which means this. Disloyalty is not caused by where you are. Disloyalty is caused by what you are. Lucifer was led by a perfect leader, God, but he was still disloyal. And disloyalty is not caused by the leader, it's caused by the follower. Let it be noted that the first disloyalty was the follower's fault. The first disloyalty in history was the follower's fault. Because he was in a perfect place and he had a perfect leader and he chose to be disloyal and to turn on God. From that day to this, I believe the quality of loyalty has been tainted. And see, I think God hates disloyalty so much that he created hell for Lucifer and all of his disloyal followers. You realize that Lucifer went disloyal, split heaven, took one third of heaven's angels, and God said, "I'm creating a place for this." You know where God sent the disloyal? Now you can try to figure it out. It's pretty clear. He created a place called hell because Satan was disloyal. His pride and his treachery, which is disloyalty, bundled into one unit, and they made a mess of things. Listen, loyalty is a commitment of faithfulness in both word and in deed. It's a commitment to a truth. It's a commitment to a cause. It's a commitment to the person of God or to the people of God. That's what loyalty is. Now stay with me. That is the reason why we have disloyalty. It originated in a perfect place with a perfect leader and an imperfect follower that did wrong. Now, our loyalty, and I hope you'll never forget this, our loyalty is first and foremost to the Word of God. Our loyalty is to the Word of God. John 8:31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Jesus even tells us to be loyal to him, we must be loyal to God's word. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He is saying, my word comes first, and loyalty to the word of God is preeminent, or is to be preeminent in our lives. John 14:21 says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Jesus says he even proved his loyalty to God by keeping the word of God. He says in John 15:10, he said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus was loyal to the Father by keeping the Father's word. You are loyal to the Father by keeping the Father's word. Matthew 5:17-18. It says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." The law of God is it's to be all the way at the top of your list. And that means this: you ought to be loyal to the word of God before you're loyal to your boss or your occupation or your money. Or your thoughts, loyal to the Word of God, it comes first. See, we are to follow God's Word. We're to be loyal. We're to stick to God's Word, be loyal to it. We're to obey God's Word, we're to be loyal to it. And since we're not to change the Word of God, then there's no need to change our loyalty to the Word of God. So, the first disloyalty took place in heaven. A perfect place, a perfect leader, an imperfect follower. Number two, our primary loyalty in life is always to be to the Word of God. Number three, loyalty for other relationships is best developed by being loyal to Jesus. Loyalty for all the other relationships is best developed and nurtured by expressing loyalty to Jesus. Philippians 3:10 says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Paul wanted to know Jesus. Paul wanted to, and if you know anything about the Bible, Paul was loyal to Jesus. You're to be loyal to the Word of God. Now, in regard to your relationships in life, your primary loyalty is to be to Jesus Christ. So first of all, be loyal to the Word of God. Now, at the top of your loyalty list when it comes to the relationships of life come Jesus. Not your mom. Not your dad. Not your uncle. Not your aunt. Not your brother. Not your sister. Jesus. Jesus comes first. You should be loyal to Jesus. Now, you say, how do I do that? You accomplish it by obeying his word. Obeying his word. He himself states it. He said in John 8:31, he said, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples." Your relationship to Jesus plays a major role in your ability to exercise loyalty to other people in your life. I'll promise you that. You find the people that understand loyalty in the secondary relationships of life, the ones that are most successful at it, learned loyalty to the Word of God and learned loyalty to Jesus Christ. And because of that, they find themselves loyal in the other relationships of life. You say, why is that? And what I'm telling you is, you get loyal to Jesus, it will help you to be loyal to your wife and loyal to your boss or loyal to your husband or loyal to your mom or loyal to your dad. And I'll tell you why. Look, if you can't be loyal to Jesus, who is perfect, And how can you learn loyalty to imperfection, which is your husband, your wife, your kids, your mom, or your dad? And what some of your problem is, the reason why some of you have been disloyal in your family relationships is you weren't loyal to Jesus like you were supposed to be. Because His Word would have told you to be loyal. And to be loyal to Him, you have to be loyal to His Word. You see, if you're disloyal to Jesus, you're going to probably be disloyal in other relationships. Folks, do you realize how disloyal the people out in the world are? I mean, think about it. I worked secularly long enough to know there are men at lunch and women at lunch, and they're messing around and doing things they shouldn't do, and teenagers running around, and they're disloyal to mom and disloyal to dad, and employees everywhere. Disloyalty everywhere. It's everywhere. And where do you find loyalty? You find loyalty to somebody that has a book that never changes and a God that never changes, and they said, that's my God, that's my book, and I understand how to be committed to something. That's where loyalty starts. To the book. To the God of the book. Then you develop it within your relationships of life. Disloyalty becomes a lifestyle. It's a weakness. It's a character flaw. I have a lot of opinions. Every once in a while, they creep out. These people that don't like America, I think we ought to slap them on the head, put them on a boat, and ship them. You don't want to be in America. Find you a country you want to be in. This is our country. This is one nation under God. And you're not supposed to change our nation. You're to change to become like it, not to try to change it to become like your foreign country. And I don't have any problem with people coming from other countries. But you need to understand something. This is the United States of America. I'm glad we're a melting pot, but that melting pot was founded on some principles and some guidelines. And I happen to believe that there ought to be a loyalty. And I know America is not perfect, and my loyalty is first to God, and my loyalty is to the Word of God. But I also still love America. And I believe in loyalty. So point number one, the original disloyalty was when Satan or Lucifer turned on God, a perfect leader, while in a perfect place, and it was the fault of the follower. Number two, loyalty is, your utmost loyalty is always to be to the Word of God. Even Jesus said that himself. Then you're to be loyal to Jesus, the Son of God. And the way that you prove that loyalty is through obedience to the Word of God. Then I said that, okay, let me move on. Leaders are supposed to learn to be loyal. So often, loyalty teaching is shot at the follower. But that's not where loyalty starts. Loyalty starts at the top and works its way down, not at the bottom and working its way up. God always says, be an example unto the believers. For instance, leaders are to be loyal. Who's our leader? God. Is God loyal? Perfectly. Perfectly. He's perfectly loyal to the Word of God. Perfectly. He's perfectly loyal to the Son of God. Perfectly loyal to God the Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. You know what that faithfulness is? There's your loyalty. God is faithful to us. Jesus is loyal. Who's He? Our leader. I'm here to tell you, leaders are to learn and practice loyalty. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Tell me, is that not loyalty? Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And did you know something? If Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus will never leave you. Never leave you. Never. 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 Never, never. He's loyal to the nth degree. Nor forsake you. He'll never forsake you. Never forsake you. That's Jesus. You have in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, He said, we love Him because He first loved us. What ignited the love? Well, we love Him because He first loved us. He was committed to us. Now we find ourselves committed to Him. But it started at the top. Jesus proves his loyalty to less than perfect man, by the way, in our eternal security. Did you know that you're flawed, but Jesus is loyal to you? You say, well, I shouldn't be loyal to someone that's flawed. You don't tell God that. You'll go to hell. He saved you. You had nothing to do with it but accept the free gift. And he said, you know what? You're going to booger this whole mess up. I'll just save you and keep you. I'll be loyal to you all the way to the end. A flawed person. It's a flawed person. You're flawed. John 10:29, it says, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's eternal security. Who is that? That's a perfect God being loyal to a follower that's imperfect and saying, I won't let anybody take you away from me. That's loyalty for you. Leaders are to be loyal to God's word. You see, I would like to maybe play a leadership role in the church. Then you'll need to be loyal to God's word. You have to be loyal to God's word in regard to your behavior, and you're going to have to be loyal to God's word in regard to your entertainment and your dress. You've got to be loyal to God's word above making money, above everything. Hey, did you know leaders are to be loyal to God's word? Leaders are to be loyal to Jesus. Leaders are to be loyal to other leaders. Nothing like having a couple leaders in the church backstabbing each other, not getting along with each other. Leaders are to be loyal to followers. And I've not said anything necessarily to the human element following a leader yet. I just happen to believe that leaders are to be loyal to followers. A young pastor asked me one day, he said, Brother Owens, he said, I want my people to be loyal to me. I said, I don't try to get people to be loyal to me. I said, the only thing I can do is be loyal to them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to believe in them. I'm never going to give up on them. He said, but aren't they supposed to be loyal to me? Well, I said, won't you stop worrying about that, and why don't you worry about you being loyal to them? I said, the best way to develop loyalty is to practice it. Practice it. You know why you and I want to be loyal to him? Because his great example to us. And so, leaders are to learn to be loyal. Number five, the Bible teaches loyalty to leaders and the leaders that God places in our lives. Let me show you something. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, it says, At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Now, I want you to understand, Paul said, at first, nobody stuck with me. Everybody forsook me. And listen to what is in the Scripture. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. Here's what happened. Paul said, no man stood with me. Everybody, they were disloyal to me. But Paul knew it was a sin for them to forsake him. And he said, lay not the sin of their disloyalty to their charge. See, Paul realized they had been disloyal to him. And Paul said, but God, please don't punish them for that disloyalty. Now, that doesn't mean God didn't. Just mean that Paul was gracious enough to say they were disloyal and they turned on me, and I'd rather that they not be punished for it. And I think Paul was being a good Christian, because you're not supposed to hate your enemy, you're to love your enemy. But do understand, that's not the issue I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that Paul knew those people should have stood with him, and they did not stand with him. And he said that was sin. Lay not that sin of not standing for me when they should have to their charge. It's very interesting. God teaches loyalty. Young people, God teaches loyalty to your parents. Tucked within Ephesians 6:1 and Exodus 20:12 is a teaching of loyalty. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're to do the right thing for your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, and the word honor there would include a loyalty. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know what? You could talk to my wife. You could talk to any of my children, and they've never heard me criticize my parents, ever. I never talked down about my parents. My parents weren't perfect. But most people who ever heard anything about my parents think they hung the moon. There is a certain loyalty. Hey, and I don't agree with the wrong that parents do, but it's not my job as a child to go around telling everybody what's wrong with my parents. That criticism is unhealthy. Hey, and young people, if you're running around with people and you're spending your time criticizing parents with each other, you need to shut your mouth. Maybe that's the politest way I can say it right now. He said, it's not real polite. We should have been thinking what I, you should know what I was thinking. Okay. God teaches loyalty to children to their parents. God teaches loyalty to spouses. That's why in Ephesians 5:22 and Ephesians 5:25, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands and wives are to be loyal to each other. You say, well, he's not perfect. Well, God keeps you saved and you're not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect wife. Next point. There's no such thing as a perfect husband. God teaches loyalty, and I don't say this because I don't have any problem. There's no problem in our church with disloyalty. I'm not trying to protect myself or derail something. I don't see something coming down the channel. I'm just teaching the Bible. But God does teach loyalty to the man of God. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you. He's speaking of the church. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, that's the preacher, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. Psalm 105:15 says, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. God is teaching even loyalty among human beings. I think everybody believes that. Now, your loyalty among humans is never to supersede your loyalty, number one, to the Word of God, number two, to Jesus, but then there is a certain loyalty that ought to be expressed, leaders to followers, followers to leaders, parents to children, children to parents, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, bosses to employees, employees to bosses. You know something? I've had the privilege of supervising and leading in the secular arena in factories before, and I could get my men to work for me, and I'll tell you one reason why. I didn't treat them like dirt. They knew I was loyal to them. They knew I had their best interest in mind. You give me a boss that has the best interest of the follower in mind, some of the followers will die to help that boss to achieve and to accomplish. But you give me a boss that just demands loyalty up the ladder, with none of it coming down from the boss to the people, and you'll have a bunch of cutthroat employees that can't stand the boss. Why? Loyalty's productive. Loyalty is a part of, it's a part of the glue that holds families together. It holds churches together. It holds countries together. Another point or two and we'll be done and on our way. Next. Loyalty is an action, not a mushy feeling. Loyalty is an action. It's not a mushy feeling. It's like this. If loyalty were the transmission of a car, it wouldn't be reverse. It wouldn't be park, it wouldn't be neutral, it'd be drive or overdrive. It's action. That's like most of the time, love is not a noun in the Bible, it's a verb. Some people, love is just a mushy feeling. No, it's not. It's move, it's action, something's got to happen. Loyalty is a work, it's not an emotion. Loyalty is a practice, it's not a sensation. Loyalty is a decision that is proven by its action, not just by words. You're not loyal because you say you're loyal. Brother, you can find people everywhere say, I'm loyal, I'm loyal. Well, put your behavior where your mouth is. Peter was guilty of disloyalty to Jesus. We've seen it. Now, he spoke of being loyal. Let me remind you. Mark 14:29, it says, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. You remember before Jesus was going to go to be crucified and Jesus talked about offense and Peter said, hey, all these other guys might put their tail between their legs and run, but Jesus, you can count on me. I'm Peter. I'll be loyal. He said in Mark 14:31, but he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any way. Just so y'all know, talk's cheap. Talks cheap. And Peter was spouting off saying, I'm loyal. I know loyalty. You can count on me, Jesus. See the other guys. They're weaklings. But they can threaten to kill me and I won't deny you. And then the Bible says in Mark 15:54, just about 20 verses later, and Peter followed him afar off. Now, Peter's already distanced himself from Jesus, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself by the devil's fire. And they said, hey, aren't you with Jesus? He said, I am not. Now he's denying him. Now he's spouting off about loyalty just a minute ago. Now he's being disloyal. Some of you might say, well, I think that's all loyalty. Talking, you know, that's where you talk out of both sides of your mouth. All loyalty. Tries to be on both sides, which is, to me, that's not loyalty at all. All loyalty to me is another form of disloyalty, personally. But let me tell you something. I believe disloyalty can be replaced with loyalty. But if you start practicing disloyalty, if you're not careful, it'll become habitual. And you'll just be like that. Now, let me say this. It is hardship rather than good times that reveal true loyalty. Hardship reveals loyalty, not the good times. Philippians 1:29 says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You can say, oh, I believe in Jesus and I'll stand for Jesus. But until you must suffer, or there's a chance you'll lose something, until the hardship comes that demands the loyalty be kicked in gear, we don't know whether you're loyal. You can say you are, and that's okay. But I'd rather you didn't say you were, and then you were loyal, than to say that you were going to be loyal, and then not be loyal. You got to choose to say it or do it and keep your mouth shut. Now, you can say it and do it both if you'd like. Loyalty may exist in good times, but its proving ground is hard times. Loyalty is revealed usually on the battlefield. Loyalty is not proven on a mountaintop, but in the valleys and in the caves. Husbands and wives, you won't figure out how loyal you really are until things are falling apart and you still stick together. You may not figure out how loyal you really are to each other until a child passes away and you've got to go through something like that and stay with each other, or the finances collapse, or the health collapses, or the devil gets involved. You won't figure out if you're really a loyal person until you're taxed to where that loyalty must be seen. Loyalty's tested when the so-called loyal person has something to lose or the challenge of life has come. Before hardship comes, loyalty can only be spoken, but it's proven in hard times. Sometimes, hey, get this, I think sometimes hardship comes, maybe not to a person because of them, but the hardship comes so that the loyalty of the followers can be proven. In other words, sometimes hardship comes to even a church leader, not because of the hardship, but to reveal the disloyalty or loyalty of some of the followers. So you might say, I think here's a situation over here in this church, and now there's a bit of a battle going on, and that pastor's just stupid. It might be that that pastor was very smart, but the battle came so God could reveal loyal and disloyal people within the congregation. Doesn't have to be that there was something wrong with the leader. It may be a proving ground. Does that make sense to you? It could be proving ground of the follower. Hey, can I tell y'all something? I remember watching my pastor, Dr. Jack Hauser, many years ago, go through a great big battle. And I'll never forget, about 4 months into it, and it was just a mess watching people be disloyal and everything. He said to me one day, he said, Jeff, I may be the luckiest guy in the world. I'm thinking, boy, you have an odd outlook. I mean, well, we've been in a war. He said, I may be the only man on the face of the earth that knows who his true friends are. You know, you figure out who your friends are when you're in the battle. You do. You figure it out. And maybe the battle was not to hurt you, but it was a proving ground for them. Hardship for the sake of the revealing of pure or proper loyalty. Now, let me say this and I'm finished. Betrayal is the final result of disloyalty. Betrayal is. Peter was disloyal, but did you know what? He got it under control. You remember? He withdrew from Jesus. He followed him afar off. He denied him. He even threw a few cuss words and a lie in there. So he was disloyal. But you know what he did? He corrected it. He corrected it enough that God used him to preach on the day of Pentecost. Now, you know, there are some leaders that if you're disloyal, you're put in a black book and you're never trusted again. Now, I happen to believe that somebody that is disloyal can get right with God and still be used. But you got to make sure that, that disloyalty does not become total betrayal. You see, Judas was disloyal and it went into betrayal. He had a moment of disloyalty that became what he was, and he virtually totally turned to destroy Jesus Christ. So Judas let his disloyalty become betrayal. Judas attacked. Judas tried to destroy, which is evil. Judas hurt on purpose, which is evil. Do you know that Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver? And you know why the 30 pieces of silver is a big deal? Because that's how much they paid for a slave back then. Jesus was sold out for what the common slave would have been sold for. They were trying to make it as him being the scum of the earth in regard to the value of an individual. And that's what Judas sold him out for. Judas betrayed Jesus. You remember the kiss? You remember how Judas placed a kiss and someone said, oh, he so gently kissed him. That was not a kiss of respect. He very gently stabbed Jesus in the back while he was placing his lips on his cheek, and the kiss was a conscience soother for a backstabber that had become disloyal and allowed it to become an actual betrayal trying to destroy the Son of God. Lucifer became disloyal, and it turned into betrayal, and he turned half of heaven's, or one third of heaven's angels, and to this day still trying to destroy. You see, I think someone could have a moment of disloyalty, but they can get a hold of it and get it under control, realize the error of their way, and correct it. But if it becomes perpetual, if you start trying to destroy the person, and you're being evil toward the person, now the disloyalty has become an act of betrayal, and you've turned it into an enemy issue, and it's even worse. Disloyalty is often expressed when loyalty is needed the most. Usually, disloyalty comes to you when you needed loyalty the most in life. You're facing a burden, a heartache, a challenge of life. And when you need them the most, they turn on you. And that's how mean the devil is. Jesus faced his darkest hour and the betrayal of Judas. You know what ends up happening? Judas betrayed him, and there is a point where the Bible says, and they all forsook him. I think Judas had some influence on some of those others withdrawing themselves. Now, theirs was a disloyalty because a bunch of them came back and got it right and realized we shouldn't have forsook him, but Judas never did. Judas made it a perpetual disloyalty, which became a betrayal. You know the story of how when Jesus was hanging on the cross and they stabbed him in the side with a spear, and out came water and blood. And the story is that the sack around the heart of Jesus Christ, his heart had already burst within him. Psalm chapter 55, verse 4, David said, "My heart is sore pained." I believe this. You might say, well, Jesus' heart was probably broken for mankind while he's hanging on the cross. Probably not. I believe Jesus' heart was probably broken because of the disloyalty that he suffered while he was hanging on the cross. You ever had someone you love very deeply break your heart with disloyalty? Maybe one of the most devastating feelings, it'll take your emotions to the depths of despair. God faced it with Lucifer in heaven in Isaiah 14, where Lucifer turned and became disloyal. It broke God's heart. I believe Jesus was hanging on the cross, and here we have it again. We have the modern day Lucifer, Judas, again breaks his heart. My take is the heart of Christ burst while on the cross before they ever stabbed him with the spear, not just for the cause of the sake of man, but probably because of the heartbreak of the depth of the disloyalty that he faced. As he was dying for the man who was disloyal. What a heartbreak. Let's grow in our loyalty. First to God. Second to Jesus. As leaders, loyalty down the ladder, understanding that Loyalty is a, and it's almost a quality of the past generations. You don't find a lot of loyalty anymore. Brother Elswick is loyal. He loves West Virginia football. He's loyal, whether they're winners or losers. He'll stand up. He's not ashamed to be counted. And you know, there are people out there, and by the way, Brother Elswick is a loyal man. He's loyal to God. He's loyal to Jesus, loyal to the Word of God, loyal to his preacher and to his church. But you know what's really sad? There are people out there that are loyal to the Pittsburgh Pirates more than they're loyal to their own spouse. Loyal to a race car and a race car driver more than to their own dad. It's sad when we've lost the loyalties to God, to Jesus, to country, to church, to preacher, to spouse, but we can be loyal to a movie star. Sad. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have a moment of invitation. Think about your loyalties. And if you have been disloyal in some area, maybe fix it. Just say, you know, I admit to it. Say, you know, I've not been loyal like I should. Fix it. But do not let it become total betrayal. A person can have a season of disloyalty, but get it right. But don't let it become your way of life. Don't let it become habitual. Don't let the disloyalty become evil and become an attack on the person. Who here tonight would say, preacher, I've learned something that's going to help me. I feel like God has spoken to my heart tonight. Would you let God see your hand that he might see the motion? You may put your hand down. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Stand to your feet if you will. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. You come. Loyalty rises to the defense because of love. Loyalty to the Word of God. Loyal to Jesus, the Son of God. Loyalty to the brethren, not because they're perfect. And I'm not asking you to condone anybody's sin. Not at all. Boy, we can jump ship when there's not sin. It's just opinion conflicts and attitude issues. And might I say, my take is, loyalty in the church and in the ministries of the church, it starts from the top and works its way down. I believe this. I believe the church leaders ought to be loyal to those that would be considered the followers. I think the bus captain ought to be loyal to the bus workers. The pastor ought to be loyal to the deacons. You know, you wouldn't have so many fights between pastors and deacons if pastors could learn how to be loyal to deacons. We expect the deacon to be loyal to the pastor. And indeed, it's right. And parents, be loyal to your kids. Let them know that you love them unconditionally. You might find a little more loyalty coming back up the ladder. The word loyalty is not in the Bible. The word disloyalty is not there. But there are many precepts, there are many principles that teach the very thing. You can call it what you want to call it. If the word loyalty bothers you, then you call it faithfulness. If disloyalty bothers you, you can call it treachery or being treacherous. This is the last time through the song. Thank you, folks.